So on Friday nights, Chad and I, we really do set a goal to go deeply into the Word. We're committed to expository preaching. We believe in the value of preaching through books and sections of the Bible, and we like to go deep. But for men's meetings, a lot of times what we try to do is speak from wisdom. And sometimes that will be out of things that we've read recently, out of things we've observed, or just things that come out of our lives, things that are churning in our thoughts, and we think this would be good to share with the guys. And so this morning is one of those things. I'm going to share a model about relationships and different circles of relationships that we have. It's not a perfect model. I'm sure it can be improved. There's nowhere in the Bible that you can specifically point to and get this model. But I do think it's an accurate depiction of the relationships that we have. And I'm hoping that it will prompt some questions for us at the end. And so I want to talk about these five circles. I'm going to start in the middle and then work outward. And so these are five relationships that I think we all have to some degree. The first one I know that we all have, and it's the relationship that you have with yourself. We all have a relationship with ourselves. If you think about the space in which you think, in which you make decisions, in which you debate with yourself, you know, I'm going to have a donut. Really should probably go with the English muffin and yogurt. Yeah, but it's Spalding's. Yeah, but it'd be better if you went with the healthier option, right? The inner debate that we have. We all have those in different ways. We all talk to ourselves. There's a relationship that we have with ourselves. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to recognize when you're getting angry or when you're getting depressed. I mean, something happens and you get angry, and then hopefully there's this inner voice that says, whoa, You're starting to get pretty heated up. Need to pull back a little bit. Need to step off the gas. Because we have this relationship, this is also why you are not your thoughts. You are independent of your thoughts. You are not your thoughts. Has anybody ever had a time when a thought came to mind and it was a repulsive thought? It was a wicked thought. And it just repulsed you, that thought was there. And then you felt really bad that you had that thought. Okay, so some of you are nodding. We don't consciously formulate all of the thoughts that we have. Some thoughts come from outside. Some thoughts are sent to us by the enemy. Some thoughts are sent to us by the demonic kingdom. And they can send thoughts that we don't want there. But because we're not our thoughts, we can recognize those thoughts for what they are, and we can send them away. We can recognize this is a wicked thought. It's a repulsive thought. I am not going to nurture it. I am not going to give it oxygen. I'm going to send it away. I'm not going to think about that anymore. I reject that. And you don't have to feel bad when such a thought comes, because you didn't make it. You didn't choose to think it, and you didn't nurture it. You were, in a sense, attacked. And so you don't need to feel bad about that. It'd be like somebody coming up to you on the street and punching you in the face and feeling bad, like, ah, I was so punchable. You wouldn't feel bad about that. You would be angry. You'd be indignant that somebody came up and attacked you. And you can feel the same way when the demonic kingdom sends you a thought like that. It's our relationship with ourself that allows us, makes it possible to seek God's help. And this is where in Psalm 42 and 43, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. And then again in Psalm 43, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. And then a psalm that we all know very well, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. The psalmist is speaking to his self, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. There's a guy, a pastor named Steve Cuss. Those who are in Chad's home group are reading a book that he wrote called The Expectation Gap. And he talks about putting yourself on your conscious list of relationships. So we all have a conscious list of relationships, people that we're in relationship with, our spouse, our kids, our neighbors, our coworkers, our extended family and such. And he argues we should put ourselves on our conscious list of relationship. Because otherwise, we may not be doing very well. We may really be struggling internally, but not be aware of it and not really give it much thought. But if you put yourself on your conscious list of relationship, you'll ask, how am I doing? I don't seem to be doing very well. Why is that? Why am I suddenly so grumpy all the time? Or why am I depressed? Or why am I doing these things that don't seem to make a lot of sense for me to do? Ultimately, you can't get away from yourself. You're always there. You can't get away from yourself. You can ignore what's going on in your interior world, but that often has bad consequences when you do that. You can bury something, but it will come back later, usually in pretty ugly ways. Also, your relationship with yourself is not always a happy one. Again, this is also in Steve Cuss's book, but you may have heard it in other circles. A lot of us have an inner critic. A lot of us have an inner voice that is constantly pointing out our shortfalls and pointing out the things that we have done that are not helpful or where we've screwed up. Your inner critic may say things like, such an idiot. Why did you do that? Why did you say that? They're never going to talk to you again. And so that's a discordant relationship that we can have with ourselves, and that is worth stepping back from and saying, why is this going on? Why am I doing this? Why am I letting that critic voice talk so much? So that's the middle circle there, our relationship with ourselves. The second relationship, or second kind of circle here, is our relationship with God. But again, it's our relationship with ourselves that lets us seek God, that counsels us to seek God and to look for his help. God's our maker. He knows our frame. He knows exactly how we're wired. He knows our inner constitution. He knows how we think. He knows the patterns that we can easily fall into. And as talked about last month, we walk with God. We walk with God every day, consciously and unconsciously. We walk with God. We trust him to be there with us, and we trust him to be ahead of us into the things that we're going to. As far as proximity, you know, I said you can't get away from yourself. God is always with us, even if he seems distant to us. God promises to never leave us or forsake us. He is always with us, even if he sometimes seems distant to us, even if we don't always perceive him. Now, what you bring to the next three circles of relationship, largely, like the health that you bring to these other things, the good things you bring, largely has a lot to do with your relationship with yourself and your relationship with God. If your relationship with yourself and your relationship with God is healthy, you're likely to bring health to these other circles. If it's not healthy, you're likely to bring negative things to those circles of relationship.
Should the God go one more in?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Thank you.
I was
waiting for the.
Kelly can't see anything, so we.
Yeah, right.
Andy saved the whole teaching right there.
Just the Howard's about to walk out. Howard is done.
Yeah. It would have been a real problem as I got out to the last.
Run out of board. Yeah.
So the third circle is your inner circle. And these are our closest human relationships. For many of us, this is relationship with our spouse, with our family, our closest friends, people that we've known for a pretty long time. These are our most trusted advisors and counselors. These are the people who know us best and who love us anyway. Love us despite our warts, our faults. They've seen it all, they know it all, and they love us anyway. These are the people who are in the best position to speak truth to us, whether we want to hear them or not. They're in the best position to speak truth to us. And this is our inner circle. Even Jesus had one. Peter, James, and John seem to have been Jesus' inner circle, the ones that he took into places that he didn't take all the rest of the disciples. And they were with him in Gethsemane. My inner circle is Dawn. I've been married to Dawn for 25 years. She's been in my life for 27 years. I would put my kids there. My kids see me at my best and at my worst. Patrick and Erica, Chad and Shannon are also longtime closest friends. We've known the Higginbothams and the Grissoms. We've been good friends for somewhere around 18 years. And they have seen me in my lowest struggles, in my most difficult times. They have seen me in those places. They've seen me in bad shape. It's a comfort for me to be with these people and to hear from them. It is not in any way taxing to spend time with them. They're very close. And I'd like to think I usually pay very close attention to what they have to say. Again, I've been married for 25 years. When Dawn has an observation about my life, I'm certainly going to listen. Sometimes I disagree, just never out loud. So that's the inner circle. We all hopefully have one. The next layer out, this fourth one, are our broader relationships. These are broader friends and family. These are people with varying levels of familiarity. I would think a lot of the people who are in the church would fall into this category. This might be people who are in your home group or that you spend time with in the church that maybe they're not in the inner circle. Maybe they haven't gained that place, but you do spend time with them. You do trust them to some degree. You do share your life with them to some degree. This could be extended family who aren't there in the day-to-day or week-to-week, but there's still relationship there. There's a lot of commonality. Might be part of the same church or part of the same family. You like to be around these people, and you like to share your life with them. So they are pretty close relationships. They're not inner circle, but they're still pretty close relationships. Or they're people that you would like to have a close relationship with. Maybe they're in your proximity. They're in your orbit. You just haven't had a chance to really get to know them and spend time with them. I thought one of the really great things last summer when we suspended home groups and we encouraged people to have others over for dinner. We had people over for dinner that had never been in our house before, and that we got to meet and that we got to spend time with. And it was really great. I don't know that would have happened in another way. And so we all have these broader relationships. You have to make a little bit of effort to spend time with these folks because maybe they're not in the daily run of your life. So does that make sense? Okay, and then I'm going to kind of summarize under one heading several categories, but this is acquaintances. Right? Acquaintances. These are people who you're connected to in some way, but they're outside your normal context. They're not really there in the common run of your life. And so this could be old friends from other contexts, maybe friends back home that you grew up with, or friends from another job. There's a guy that I used to work with in the College of Engineering. A great guy. His wife's great. When they had a kid, we took them a meal. We hung out with them. They came to the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe Ballet a couple of years ago. Really enjoyed them. They're Christians. And then when I change jobs, we don't spend any time together. You know, we don't get together for coffee. We don't. Our families don't get together. They've kind of fallen outside the normal run of life, unfortunately. And I am admittedly awful about keeping up with people who are not immediately in these first couple of circles. I don't know if it's a flaw or a defense mechanism. I'm not sure. Maybe it makes it easier when people go away. But I do lose touch. I took a class at Asbury 2 years ago, a week-long class on the public reading of Scripture. And it was a great class. Really enjoyed my fellow students. A lot of them were pastors who were getting their degree while they were pastoring. And we had a ball. It was a great week together. And at the end, it was kind of predictable. They'd be like, let's keep this going. You know, we'll communicate via email, and then we'll have a reunion every once in a while. And everybody was like, yeah, let's do it. And I was silent. And then eventually, you know, they kind of pressed, and I was like, look, I just got to tell you, I will never do that. I am just not built that way. I'm sorry. I've really enjoyed the week, but like this is it. And they started it, you know, as an email chain. And you know what? I'm the only one who emailed anybody in that email chain. Nobody ever did anything with it except for me. So old friends from other contexts, coworkers might fall in this, in acquaintances, maybe your neighbors. It depends on how close you are to your neighbors. Parents of kids on your sports teams that maybe you get to know through sports. It would be in the normal run of life to spend time with them at the kids' games, but if they invited you to a day on the lake, that would fall typically outside kind of normal life. Extracurricular sports and hobbies that you might have, boards and service organizations. So time with these folks is typically outside the normal structures of your life, right? Does that make sense? Now, I know what you're thinking, and you're wrong. You're probably thinking, Kelly's going to say, limit the time that you spend out here and focus most of your time here. Don't give much space and time and energy to this outer circle of acquaintances. Figure out where you're spending a lot of time there and shed that and come back into the inner circles. That's not what I'm going to say. I don't believe that that's true at all. Now, if you're spending all of your time out here, that's probably a problem. If you only get input from people out in this outer circle, that's probably a problem too. But as we've talked about in Romans, God is renewing the world, and we're called to participate with Him in renewing the world, and that means being out in the world. And we can't do that if we're only clustered together and we never spend time in any of these other contexts. We're in those other contexts for a reason. So there's nothing wrong with spending time there. It shouldn't probably be all of our time. Okay? So these are five circles of relationship, and I'm not actually going to draw any applications. I'm not going to give any particular guidance, but I am going to ask some questions. And I think sometimes questions can be more valuable than applications or answers. So I'm gonna write out some questions here, and then what I'd like you to do is to get with the other guys in your home group and talk through some of these questions. You can focus all your time on one question, or you can work through all of them. It's up to you. But I'd like you to take a look at these questions and just kind of round table together. So the first one is, do you have people in your inner circle? Do you have people who can speak into your life from an inner circle? If not, what prevents you from having people in your inner circle? Is anything preventing you from having people in your inner circle? The next question is, Where do you look for people to speak into your life? Are you looking in these inner relationships, or do you tend to look outward? Because one thing I think is true is that there's a decreasing level of honesty from people the further out you go. So if you are sharing a problem that you have and you're wanting to get insight, somebody out here is probably less likely to tell you the bone honest truth than somebody who knows you really well and who knows your flaws. People out here are likely to want to just maintain the good, happy relationship on the occasions that you see each other. And they're not very likely to tell you the full truth. They're not going to tell you the last 10% that you really need to hear. Another question would be, just what is the ratio that you have in your life? You know, as far as where you spend your time, where you get your energy, where people can speak into your life. Are you 70% here and maybe just 30% here? Or, you know, you can think about that. What does the ratio look like in your life? And should you make an adjustment? Is there an adjustment that's needed in some way? Again, if you're entirely here and you don't have anybody out here, you might think about making an adjustment there. The next one is, how do you make friends? It's not easy to make friends. I think the older we get, the harder it is to make friends. I think making friends is probably easier when we're young than it is when we're older. How do you make friends? And then the last one, how has adversity made your relationship stronger? I mentioned my inner circle has gone through a lot of adversity, and it's made the relationships stronger. So how has adversity made your relationships stronger? So, any questions? Yes.